that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on The Gathering Radio Show.
Hi. Hi, everyone. Welcome to The Gathering. It's another Tuesday night. I'm Stephanie, and this is the Para-X Network, and I'm waiting for my co-host, Heidi. But in the meantime, I have Jerry Ayers, who's my husband, who's from The Calling, who's sitting in for Heidi until she arrives. So hello, Jerry. Welcome to The Gathering.
This is so weird.
It is strange. It is, because I don't think it's just ever been you and me on The Gathering before. You've been on The Gathering.
And you've been on The Calling.
And I've been on The Calling, but not as a co-host, never. Only as a guest. Yeah. So hopefully Heidi will get here. I know she was moving today, so I'm thinking maybe she lost track of time, or who knows, maybe traffic is horrendous. But I'm hoping she makes it. If she doesn't, we have half of The Calling here with us tonight. So it'll be a fun show either way. But welcome in. So, you know, it's been a crazy week. Jerry, you should talk a little bit about what you've been doing for Sim and what's going on with Sim about the UFO experiments and stuff, because that's interesting.
Yeah, we've been a friend of mine, Bobby Sullivan, and with Small Town Supernatural, and of course, The Calling, Sim. And so we found that in Elmwood, Wisconsin, which is the UFO capital of Wisconsin, they've been a lot of UFO sightings and everything. And so we decided we were going to do some... am I not talking?
You're just a little loud.
Oh, sorry.
Because they're hearing you through my microphone, too.
Oh, okay. So, sorry, honey. So we just decided that, we're going to go start doing some experiments and everything, and to see what we could scare up over there. And it was so strange on Friday when I was there. I was there by myself, and... it was so dark. I mean, it's way out in the country and everything, but it almost feels like something is watching you. It's just amazing. And we've never really done any type of a UFO type thing with Sim. And now it's about time we're getting into it.
Well, that's really cool. And we know that Elmwood, I know you said this, but is the UFO capital of the U.S. anyway.
Of Wisconsin.
And Elmwood is back in my family. I have a lot of family in that area, and I used to go stay on a farm, on my aunt's farm, which is very close to Elmwood. And in fact, the people that we've met through all of this happen to be neighbors of Caroline and Jake, and welcomed us in to their home. We were one of the crowd once they found out who I was. So it's very fun. But I have to say, though, Jerry, that when I was in the 70s, when all of these things started, that was when I was staying down there every summer for a few weeks here and there. I don't remember hearing talk of UFOs at all. So it's kind of interesting, right?
Well, most of the sightings over there were in the 70s. So, Either they just didn't talk about it.
Right.
Like right now, they're saying that a lot of the older people really want this just to go away. They don't want to have their UFO days, and UFO days this year is going to be their 40th. Mm-hmm. So a lot of them just want it to go away. They want to be a normal town. They don't want to be known for anything. But at the same time, I mean, you had a lot of things happening. They almost had an airstrip built there. They were very close to having that. And to take away from that, I think, is terrible. Every small town's got something going on. Mm-hmm. You know, Columbia Heights, we have...
What?
Nothing. So we got to get something.
Oh, funny. Well, and this past weekend, I was down in Iowa with some of the Sim crew. We were at the Farrar Schoolhouse down in Farrar, Iowa, actually, which is a little tiny town, a little bit north and east of Des Moines. And it was hot and humid, and we had a good time. We didn't have a lot of activity, and this is like one of the most active parts in the U.S., so they say. I didn't experience that. Now, two of our teammates that were with us, Jeff and Mike, had been there before and had lots of activity. So I was expecting this really fun place. And it was fun. It was fun. But it wasn't as active as I had hoped for. We had the place to ourselves. We were there for, we had a 12-hour lockdown, and we did sleep a couple of hours in the car. I would go back, I guess, but maybe at a different time of year. You know, I think summer is too active with growing things and for the ghost energy to come through. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's just my own opinion. But I posted a picture of myself. I always like to take pictures in mirrors because there's crazy things that happen in mirrors sometime. And, you know, that's a whole other story. But, you know, it was said, and Jerry, you said you saw something in that picture as well.
Right. If you know Steph and you're on her Facebook, there's a picture she took where she is taking a picture in a mirror. If you take a look over, it would be her. Well, in the picture, on your side, on your left, if you look over her shoulder and look in the corner there, and just open up and take a peek. There's somebody there. Now, the weird thing was is that Michael Christopher, you had said something to Michael about if there was anything there, and he said...
No, I never did. He just put that on there. He just said, oh, Steph. Yeah, he just said, Steph, look over your... This is what I see in this picture.
Right. And it's right. There's something there.
I'm going to see if I can put a picture of this up on the Gathering's Facebook page. Because it is cool, and both of you saw something. I can't see anything, which is unusual. Usually, if you guys see it, I do too. But I don't see anything, so that's interesting in itself. So here, Jerry, why don't you talk a little bit? I'm going to see if I can get this on. I can't do two things at once, apparently.
Which is very strange, because...
Right?
See, that's now, Karen. You're right. It to me, there is a man there. I can't really tell if he is smiling or not, but there is definitely a man there. Bald man. I didn't really see a bald man, but it you know, you could, you know, possibly be something like that there. It's a very interesting picture. I myself were not down in at the Farrar School. I instead decided to take the UFO route, and I have to agree with Ceiling Cat. Aliens are there for the cheese.
Oh, yeah, okay. All right, so I just posted that. If you guys want to go to our Facebook page, The Gathering, you will see that picture. And if you see anything in there, you know, do let us know. Karen, of course, and I are best buds, and she's on my Facebook page, so she saw that. And that's because when you said Karen, I'm like, oh, maybe I put it on there already. But no, that was from something else. So go out to the Gathering's Facebook page, and if you see something, write it in the chat line. I've got the chat line up here too. Yeah, it's Karen, it's the one where I'm standing there in front of the mirror and I have the camera and I said something about the investigation has begun or something. Is that the one you're looking at? But it's very cool. Either way, it is cool. Now, we did have, also, oh my God, a different picture. Well, what one are you looking at? Maybe I should put that one up too. This is funny. We also did a live. We did Facebook Live when we were down there for a very long time. It was too long for Facebook, but we were on live for probably about an hour and a half. And we did get a few things. What was interesting is that Michael Christopher again had, you know, commented that he saw something, and when we talked to the caretaker of the building, he said, "Oh my gosh, this psychic is right on, because this is who I see all the time," which we can talk about later too. So yeah, I mean, there were things happening. I guess, you know, when people tell you a place is very active, you anticipate more than what I experienced there. But all in all, it was a good investigation. Like I said, I would like to try it again at some point, maybe at a different time of the year. I don't know. It's kind of interesting, actually. Oh, that one. So you see things in that one too, Karen? Should I put that one up on the page? I don't know. Maybe I'll put that one up there too. She's looking at the one where I'm standing in front of the elementary school sign. So, anyway, that's interesting. But paranormal investigation is something that we don't talk a lot about on our show, which is interesting enough because there's so many other topics to talk about. So we thought we would talk about that tonight. So, Jerry, you're here sitting in for Heidi. What would you like to say about paranormal investigation? I mean, do you think there's a difference in the summer than in the fall or in the spring or in the winter?
Well, I think there's a possibility. I think that mostly is the big stigma of things coming around the spring and in the fall around Halloween and everything, but necessarily not any difference, because most of our investigations, if you remember last year and the year before, were all right around June, July.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's so, it can happen at any time. It doesn't matter if it's during a certain time of the year. But at the same time, too, I mean, I think it's just that we notice more in the spring and the fall when the veil is a little bit more thinner. It seems like we get more phone calls. But out of all those calls and of all those places we've been to, is there any provable cases? Most cases are just people talking about it, but they don't want an investigation done. So is that the time that they all decided they wanted to watch, you know, scary movies and stuff like that, you know? But when it comes to investigating, it's a hit or miss. I mean, it can happen at any time. That's to say, I've even seen it red, which I think is hilarious.
You what?
I've seen stuff written in certain places, like on Facebook and everything else, that ghosts only come out at nighttime, you know, or,
oh, well,
yeah, because well, they need to know. Sleep. Well, no, it's not the case. So it can come at any time.
That's a good one. I like it. Ghosts only come out at night. Well, you know, I do feel, though, Jerry, and I know you think I'm wrong about this, but even with Sim and even our investigations in the summertime, like in May and June, we don't yield as much as we do other times of the year. I mean, even on evidence. And we don't have as many experiences either.
Right. Well, we have had cases, though, Steph, that we've gone to, and there's just nothing going on, and they have all these claims, and we can't find any claims whatsoever of any type of paranormal activity, be it, you know, in the fall or in the summer. So, I mean, you really just can't say when, you know.
Right. Right. It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. But, yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. We'll have to see what all of our data reveals, because it'll be fun to go over the data for this one and see, for example, the librarian that we feel was with us, if she talked to us at all. Exactly. See, Karen says this, too much background noise with all the summer shroud. Yes.
Exactly.
I think that's probably what it is. I was saying it wrong. What I was saying is that there's just so much energy from everything that's growing and green and, you know, craziness, that there's just, you're right, that's what it is. It smothers the paranormal, I think, is what happens. Yeah.
Right. Well, and also, too, when it comes to, you know, doing an investigation and everything else and stuff, is when people tell you that such a thing is here. Mm-hmm. How do you know that for sure? Has there been a recorded time in history where this certain person who was a librarian dressed a certain way that actually worked there? Or is it somebody that claims themselves to be a psychic seen this? You don't know. You don't. Nobody knows until they were to do all the history on who died on the place. That's why having proven history.
Exactly, but Jerry, but we also know that ghosts come and go, and they come and they can decide, hey, I like this place, so I'm going to stay here. And
true,
I call that spirit the librarian, because that's what the caretaker calls her, because he most often sees her in the room that they call the library. How many people died at that school? Probably zero. So why are there still spirits there? Because that's where they feel most at home, correct? Isn't that what we said?
That's true. That is definitely true. I mean, that is a fact. Walcott, where we've done many times, no one ever died on that property.
Right.
But yet, it's haunted.
Yes.
You know, which is very, very, very strange. Yep.
It's very haunted. So, I do think that you're right, the shroud, it shrouds. And you know what the other thing is this time of year, you know, the longest day of the year is next week. We know that the energy is very high. In fact, I always say you can just almost feel the earth vibrating. And I think you're right, that masks any paranormal activity that might be happening, honestly. Mike is saying, I always thought that people hear from spirits at night because it tends to be more quiet, and some spirits that hang around try to avoid the commotion of the living. Yes.
You believe that?
Well, no, but I do think, here's what I think. I think people hear from spirits at night because this is when we're quiet, maybe, and this is when our minds have quieted down a little bit. Don't you think?
Well, there's a possibility at that, yeah, but
more perceptive to what else could be around us.
Possibility.
Jerry's just not. He's looking at me like I have two heads.
I'm holding back. No, I'm holding back.
Oh, my goodness. All right, let's see what people are talking about on the chat line. People are looking at these pictures. And Kat, yes, someone else, the picture of me in the mirror with the radiator in the background, it is said that there's some kind of energy behind me, and Jerry has seen a male figure. Michael Christopher told me he saw a male figure of someone who was probably 35-ish. I mean, he went into quite detail about how he felt like he was maybe even a little mentally retarded, or he felt like there was something like that going on. But interesting. So if anyone else has a look at that picture and sees anything, because I know there's a lot of people in the chat room and who are listening who are also paranormal investigators. So everybody have a look at that, and then you know, chat about it on the chat line if you see anything. And I put the other picture also of me in front of the Farrar Elementary School sign that Karen says she sees something, a wrinkled kind of old man. So have a little look at that too. It's interesting. So, and I'll report back. We just haven't had time to go through any of our evidence. So maybe we will find, oftentimes I know that when we're on paranormal investigations, if we don't have a lot of activity, it seems that those investigations are the time that the evidence reveals a lot, actually. And then there are other times when we have lots of experiences and we experience lots of activity and we get absolutely nothing on our stuff. Like Jerry, I'm thinking about that case we had on that farm in western Minnesota last year, and clearly we all experienced these children spirits. In fact, I was playing hide and seek with them in the middle of the night around those trees, and we all heard the giggles. We all heard all of this with our ears, and yet when we went through our voice recorders and our video cams, there was absolutely nothing. Now, how do you explain stuff like that? That is amazing.
You can't. Yeah. It's just something that's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty amazing on that, especially when you're hearing it and seeing it.
Yes.
So you figure you'd catch it all, but no, it's very, very strange.
Yeah, and so same with us. So maybe we're not experiencing it when we're there, but maybe we'll, you know, come up with a lot of evidence. I hope so. My fingers are crossed, and it will be fun to go through this to find out what we do find. I'll report back on that. Have any of you on the chat line been to the Farrar School? And if you have, can you tell me what you experienced there? Because that would be interesting also. Karen is saying she sees something in the photo. Mike is saying she doesn't see anything. Matrix thing, yeah, that probably is. But Swanee, have you been down to the schoolhouse? I kind of think, I know that Heidi's been there. So, interesting. Anyway, well, we will move on. Sorry, Emily. Hi, Braden. You're not late. You're just fine. We're talking about paranormal investigating and how different times of the year is, you know, different. But interesting enough, we were also talking about how sometimes when we experience a lot of things, nothing shows up in our data. Like I was talking about, you know, the children and playing hide and seek, and we could audibly hear them giggling, and we had absolutely nothing on any of our recording devices. So what are your thoughts on the whole thing, Jerry?
About the whole thing? Well, it's interesting. I mean, with all these different things that some people can see, some people can't see, it just by chance, you know. Some are more tuned in to seeing things. But the funny thing about that is that a person being able to see certain things on a picture or when they're there may not hear anything on a voice recorder or on video whatsoever. They may not even see nothing, but they may be able to see it live.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really interesting. And actually, that would really suck, you know, if you can't, don't have nothing to prove that you actually seen it, except for you know yourself,
mm-hmm.
which is good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So when do you think is the best time of year to investigate the paranormal, Jerry?
You're still on that.
I am.
Well, I don't know what to tell you on that, because on everything that we've done with Sim, we've been places, northern Minnesota, at a certain place for the Chippewa State Forest.
Yep.
I mean, we were in that one in September.
Yeah.
And even in June and July, we've been there. And there's always things going on. So I just think it depends. You know, it seems like the one that has the most is the one that has the fewest amount of people going in there to bother them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because the place we've been to, but wintertime comes up the same. You know, so there's really, I think it's just by chance that you're able to go there. And I think it's also too that it's what the people that own the house, if they're, what their belief is. Do they believe in them? Have they had any kind of thing happen to them where they've came forward? So
mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I do. Yeah. I do think fall is the best time to do investigations, because I think that they're spirits have a much easier time coming into our dimension because of the veil being thin. So we get a lot more evidence, for example, I think, in the fall. And even in May, because the veil is thin again in May. Not as much as in the fall, but nonetheless. And every day is a good day to investigate, Swanee. Absolutely. It's
very
always
good, Swanee. That's perfect.
Paranormal investigation is always a good thing, a fun thing to do, and it's, we always learn stuff, and you know, it's just camaraderie, you know, you get to be with your teammates, and it's always good because we always learn new things too. That said, so Jerry, what are, out of all the investigations we've done, I'm going to ask you this, what is your most very favorite place
Wow, we've got so many places. Walcott was one that was fantastic. The one time we went to Waverly, because I had things happen that I've never had happen to me before, walking down the hallway on the third floor, I think it was, had my flashlight in my hand, and all of a sudden my hand felt like jello. And I'm looking at my hand, and I can almost see jello around it, and then the battery started to die little by little by little, and then finally went out. And my whole hand was so cold. And it was weird, because when we went back downstairs to get more batteries and everything, it just popped back on again. It was just weird. But that place, as a matter of fact, when we were walking down the hallways, if you remember correctly, it was you and Mike and Jeff, and there was some other people, and I'm hearing this lady talking in my ear about Jeff. And I kept saying, you know, talking and telling her what she is saying. And you stopped and you looked at me and you said, "Why are you ruining this for everybody?" And I go, "What are you talking about? How am I ruining this?" I said, "Are you guys seriously can't hear her?" And we did get a few things on voice recorder, but they were very faint. And it was just the weirdest thing in the world.
Oh,
and
my goodness. Like, everyone, here's the couple, you know. This is what you did. I love it. But what you so Mike is saying Waverly has got to be awesome. Yes, it was awesome.
Just like Grant and all those guys ever said that when you go there, you don't have to hunt for ghosts. They hunt for you.
And that is absolutely the truth. And I guess that's probably my favorite place that we've investigated as well. But, you know, it was the fourth floor for me, because that was the surgical floor, remember? And we didn't know at that time that that was the surgical floor. And I'm the one in the team that always tends to go off by myself, which is an absolute no-no with the sim crew. And I'm always the first one in the room. I'm always the first one down the hallway. And yet we stood at that hallway, Jerry, you and I and Jeff. And I stood there, and it's like I didn't want to go down there. It was like something saying, "No, no, don't go down there." And then I started crying. Do you remember once we started walking?
Yeah, that's right.
And I felt,
oh, my God, were you ever, were like sobbing.
I was sobbing that entire floor, and I just felt like the feelings of hopelessness and helplessness and pain, and there was just no way out. And they were all of the spirits there were just transposing their feelings onto me. And then we got around and we made it to that surgical suite, and we're like, holy mama, well, this is exactly why I was feeling this way, right? Because, you know, they did all these strange surgeries on people trying to cure them of tuberculosis, and they would cut up their chests and expose their lungs, and then they would almost always die within a few days. And can you imagine what a horribly painful death that was?
Oh, just terrible.
So can you imagine the hopelessness and the fear and that all of those feelings that are still in that place just running rampant? And yeah, I sobbed that entire floor. I'll never forget that.
And I felt really kind of bummed out. Not that I didn't sob. It's just that I was just, this was right after my attack at Walcott, where my lungs were at its worst with the histoplasmosis, and trying to get upstairs, which was, I mean, there's a lot of walking. And when we put out who's going to walk where first, what floor we're going to start, I wished I would have put myself to start at the very top floor and then come down, but I didn't. We started at the second floor first, so I had to sit out on quite a bit of it. But you guys did fantastic.
You were
pretty excited and get in there. The only thing you didn't get to see, which none of us got to see, was down in the death tunnel.
The lights, or whatever. Yeah, and
a lot of people seen that.
We went a few times, and I remember because the team, Amy was on a different team at the time, and she and can't remember what his name was now. He was on our team for a while too, but they said, "You guys gotta go. You gotta go see him." So I remember at the very end, Jeff, me, and Katie all went there in the dark, and we're standing at the edge of this. You know, I felt like I was at the edge of the precipice, but it really wasn't. But it was at the edge of the. You know, if we would have fallen, we would have gotten hurt. Waiting, you know, we were all holding hands, watching, and we stood there for, I don't know, 30 minutes, and we never did see it. So next time, I'm just saying, because I know the sim crew really wants to go back there next year, so I'm hoping we get there.
Yep.
because it is an amazing place and we have a lot to see still. So, you know, whatever. But that is my favorite place too.
What do you think about them? You go ahead.
I was just going to say, we do have to go up for break here in just a minute, but there was a question about the veil. They wanted me to explain about the veil thinning. So what happens is twice a year, the veil between the worlds of the living and the dead thins. And basically it's in the fall, you know, when everything's dying off and that veil gets thinner and thinner and thinner. And actually it happens, Samhain is the festival that the old Celts and many people still celebrate it today, but that's when the veil is the thinnest. And it's felt like that because it's so thin and almost transparent that the spirits can more easily enter our world, and we notice them a lot more and they're noticed a lot more. So in the fall, think about this, as things are dying off after the equinox, after the fall equinox happens, that's when it starts to thin, and it thins and it thins and it thins until like the first part of November, and then it starts building back up again. But that whole season, and springtime, Beltane, May 1st, is another time of the year where it's at its thinnest. However, at that time of the year, we're focusing more on the, you know, new emerging energies, the new plants, the new all that kind of thing. Anyway, so we have to go for a break. We're 2 minutes past due. So stay with us. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. This is The Gathering on the Para-X Network.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
Demons. Vampires. Werewolves. Skinwalkers. All of this and more. Sunday nights at midnight on the Staring Into the Abyss radio show.
UFOs.
Bigfoot.
Cryptids.
A lot of shit on the coin. Just think if you're listening to the words of Para-X.
It is the secret of the world that all things subsist and do not die, but only retire a little from sight and afterwards return again. Nothing is dead. People find themselves dead and endure the mock funerals and mournful obituaries. And there they stand, looking out the window, sound and well, in some new and strange disguise. This secret must be told to the world, and they must tell it. Because they're not dead. We know this, and we'll prove it. So join Mike and Dave every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central for the Odyssey Files. Only on Para-X.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to The Gathering. This is Stephanie and
Jerry with
filling in for Heidi. Heidi's missing in action. We know she was moving today, so I'm thinking that things just got a little out of control. But we're talking paranormal investigating. And we had talked about, you know, we had just talked about how what Jerry's favorite place that he's investigated was Waverly. And, you know, that's definitely...
Well, that wasn't really the favorite. That was just one of the favorites. There's been so many.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's even a couple house ones that I really enjoyed investigating, and I'd like to get the chance to do it again.
Well, and that property up in the forest, of course, is a favorite of both of ours, and we can't tell you where it is because we're under confidentiality agreement, but we worked with the forestry service on... a property up in northern Minnesota, and we've investigated it probably 3 or 4 times, right, Jerry? And we were going to go back this year. I don't know if we'll make it back there because our schedules are so crazy, but hopefully we will. But that was another really good one. And then there's so many, and I know there's a lot of paranormal investigators on the chat line, so if you want to share your favorite place, that would be awesome. We'll most certainly read it. What do you think? Do you think, Jerry, that when you go in, I know we have to have protections when we go into these haunted places, but do you think that when we protect ourselves so much and we pull our energies in so that we are protected, that we're not going to experience those spirits?
You know, it's funny you should say that, because I know that Jeff on our team doesn't like to be any kind of protection whatsoever, because that's what he's afraid of, is mm-hmm. that something's not going to talk with him or interact with him. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just think the biggest thing is at the end of it, if you protect yourself at the end, and you keep yourself up. I mean, you know, you should know if something is kind of creeping on you. I mean, you know what I mean by that? You would say, okay, for you ladies, you're sitting at a bar and you're having a good conversation with your friend, and you're drinking a little vino and stuff, and all of a sudden you can feel this stare from across the room from this jerk that's just eyeballing you. It's roughly this. Well, no, it's the same thing, because your alert goes up, so you can feel that. And don't tell me that nobody's got that. I mean, they can feel it, you know. Like, well, right now, I can feel all these stares of these people kind of staring at their laptop or their.
They're looking. Phone. They're saying, "Who is this guy on the gathering? This is not Heidi."
And wait a minute, I have to say this because I've been waiting to say this for a long time. Ready? The gathering.
The gathering.
The gathering.
So, you know, for those of you who are not familiar with this, the gathering got. We got our start on the calling radio show, actually. So when Jerry first started his radio show, he didn't think he could have enough content for every single week. So he asked Heidi and I to do a show, which we called The Gathering. So we were only on once a month. And then about a year ago, it'll be our year anniversary, I think, at the end of this month now, that we started a weekly show on a different night, because we just wanted to get to do our own deal. And so we've been doing it for about a year now. But so Jerry is the one that gave us the start in the radio business. But we had been on your show a few other times, like when you couldn't make it, Heidi and I would take it over. So
right.
It wasn't like we didn't have any experience at all.
No, you guys had been done great, I think, from the start. Okay. You both were a very good match. And that's why, I kind of pushed you at it. And I know you were like, no, I don't want to do that. I just don't have no interest. Well, that's what you said. And, I mean, not even
now. Now look at us. I mean, now we do such a good job.
Don't know, people out there, how hard it is to live with this woman.
Oh, stop.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
So Mike is saying the Hacienda Inn in Prescott, Arizona is his most favorite place that he has investigated. Prescott, Arizona. So Kimmy from Cat Paranormal is listening, and she has just moved to Arizona. She's back in Minnesota for the summer, but I wonder if that's close to you, Kim. Oh, see, she's saying, Mike, let me know where that is so I can check it out. Oh, yeah, that's very cool. Hacienda Inn. Oh, well, Kim, maybe I might have to come down there to Arizona and we might have to check that out. So Jerry, do you have any other thoughts to share about paranormal investigation?
Not really that much. And this is what happens on the calling too, where Bo, yes. She just can't stand it. We're talking, so she's got to get her little voice in. What was your question?
What do you have any thoughts to share about paranormal investigation?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, if you're going to go out there and investigate with honesty, you know, and remember that the spirits were there, you know, before you, and you're there to talk with them. So why go screaming, yelling, hollering at them and everything? You know, you should be more considerate. That's why we don't provoke whatsoever in anything that we do. Well, unless we're doing cleansings, and of course, you know, we got to let them know what's going on. And I ran out of the room calling for my cat. You know what? Steph just ran out of the room with the cat, so it's weird. But no, it's you know,
I had to shush her up. She's been kind of wild. So what are you what are you saying, honey?
Nope, can't tell you. It's a secret between.
I think you were talking. What I heard. What I heard you say is we have to be considerate towards the spirits, which is absolutely the truth.
It's very essential if you want to get any type of conversation going. I mean, if I walked into somebody's house and just was like, "You do this, you do that," and stuff, no, it's going to be a
provoke.
Problem.
Never provoke. It's one of the worst things you can ever do as a paranormal investigator, because how would you like it if someone came into your home and said, for example, "Steph, make me this. Steph, talk to me. Steph, are you an idiot?" I mean, really. I mean, this is what these spirits are, people who have passed who are still there. So you're going into their home. You need to be respectful. You can't be provoking. You need to give them the same respect as you would give someone else who was alive, for example. And I know that one of the things that the caretaker of for our school told us also was that he hoped, you know, he's been the caretaker there for many years, and he really has become, he feels friends with these spirits that are there. And he said, "I always say, please don't provoke." Because it's just, it's not respectful, and so I'm glad he says that, because I think a lot of people do provoke, and I think it can get you into a lot of trouble. Yes, Jerry.
I've raised my hand. Braden K asked, "Do you think younger people doing investigations is safe? I question if I'm too naive and should wait until I feel ready for an investigation." Well, it depends upon how young you're talking about. There is a guy that's going to be coming on my show soon. I'm not going to say his name and everything else, but he has his child who is 9 years old investigating with him, and there's definitely got to be a limit somewhere. I mean, that's, to me, that's way too young. I don't believe in that whatsoever. You know, I mean, kids at that age, they're not even respectful to their parents.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, some are, you know, some aren't. But, I mean, that's just, and it's dangerous for them, I feel. You know, they get something stuck in their head, I just don't think that they should be doing that.
Well, Braden, I don't know how old you are, but on our team, we have a steadfast rule that nobody can be on our team or go on investigations with us, even at events, unless they're 18 years old. Because I feel like there's way too many TV shows out there. There's way too many people that watch these shows, and I'm not going to even name the one that where they provoke all the time, but who's to say that you're not going to go out to a haunted location and do the same thing? And you can get into a lot of trouble doing that. I mean, these spirits are out there, and they can and do hurt you. And Jerry, my husband, provoked once in all of the years that we have been investigating the paranormal. And he was beat up, and he is still suffering from, you know, he's got a lung condition. He's got, his heart went into AFib. It's not a good thing. And I guess maybe if you had someone with you who was an experienced investigator, and, you know, maybe you went through some kind of courses, don't go out there alone is what I'm saying. Don't ever go out there.
Well, see, that's another good point right there.
Yeah.
A lot of kids will go out alone because they're trying to prove something to other kids. Yeah. Well, there's actually a case here that happened out in Anoka where a kid decided he was just a kid. I think he was around 16, and he went and ran into this old abandoned house. Oh my God, Steph, that hurt. To this old abandoned house, and he went in and was checking it out, and he fell through the floor, and he was down in there for 2 solid days with a broken leg until somebody just happened to have heard him or seen a light or something like that, and they went to investigate it, and they found him in there. So, I mean, a person could die real easy.
Yes. Well, that's one of the, you know, physical dangers of it. But I also am talking about the, you know, what can happen to you, because these, you know, if you happen to open up a portal, I mean, maybe you're out there with the Ouija board. A lot of kids go out there with Ouija boards, and guess what? Those portals open up. Things happen.
Well, that's when you're talking about a maturity level, and exactly. That's true. If you're going to go out there and do this, don't just go running into a house and do that stuff. Take time, find a good, reputable team that will sit down with you and go over things and kind of teach you how to do things and do it the correct way. And also, when people are just running into houses that are not getting permission, trespassing and stuff, it makes us harder for us people with our own teams that are reputable teams to be able to go in, because they feel that everybody is just a ghost hunter and they want to go out for the thrill and the scare.
Yes, and that is exactly the wrong... Everybody is talking about our cat on the chat line. normally when one of us is on the radio, the other one is here to corral the cat. And
unless Stephanie has gotten a coupon from Kohl's for 30% off. And then my show, The Calling, they always go on Wednesdays, you know, suffers for it. Oh, but well. It's funny is that Bobo, our cat, is a Russian blue. And if anybody's got a Russian blue out there, you know they love to talk.
Yes.
Constantly.
Yes. And Bobo more so than most. And she does actually see spirits. I know she does. She wakes us up a lot. Well, all cats do. That's why they're called the guardians of the underworld, right? They do have a lot of things to tell us. but anyway, I think she's okay now. You know, she's in the other room. So hopefully we won't, you know, she won't be screeching again. Yeah, Bobo. That's my little Bobo. Her real name is Boricia. Abby wants to do a show with her ghost dances. Absolutely. We should have a show of the whining cats. Wouldn't that be interesting? Oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, but anyway, yeah. So I, you know, maybe there's not really an age to go paranormal investigating. I just think it's the maturity level. I do think so. And I think that, you know, you need to learn the real way to investigate and don't watch these TV shows. I mean, the original Ghost Hunters is how what we watched, for example. You know, we watched it for years, Jerry, and then all of a sudden, Stashu's was empty, and we knew there was ghosts in there because we're intuitives, you know, and we're clairvoyants, and we had seen them for all these years, and we asked to please go in there. And so we went in there, I'll never forget, we went in there with our pads of paper and our pens, and I think we might have had one voice recorder and a still camera. And we learned what we had learned by watching Grant and Jason on Ghost Hunters all those years.
Right, and you know, what brings up a good point, there is a show, it's a YouTube show that Grant has out called What the Fetch. And
good. It's really
Brayden,
good.
I think since you want to do this, you should definitely take a look at his videos. I seen him for the first time. We had a meeting with Sim and one of the guys and girls put this little package together. And I was just amazed at what he's doing. And I really think you should check it out. It's called What the Fetch.
Yes.
And it's Grant Wilson.
And it's on YouTube, I believe.
Yep.
And, you know, he is so cool. But that's how Sim got started. That's how we got started in the paranormal world. And that was, you know, over 8 years ago now, and we're still doing it. But what's interesting is that, so on that very first investigation into the unknown, we caught such amazing evidence. You know, we caught an EVP that said, "I'm sorry, Jerry." Jerry had worked there for a lot of years. We have played that on this show before, so some of you may have heard it. We caught a picture of the ghost girl that I had seen for many years. And then we went back. So a couple of years later, after it was turned into Stanley's, we went back and did an investigation and caught lots of evidence. But my point is, that's how we got started, was after we had watched. And I do think that the Ghost Hunters are probably the most reputable of the paranormal investigators on TV. I just do. And I've met them. Grant, seriously, the first time I met him, I said, Grant, this is how we started paranormal. And I told him the story, and he just looked at me, and he grinned and giggled, and then he said, I'm so sorry, Steph. And I said, what do you mean? Well, you know, it's hard being an investigator. We sit in the dark for hours at a time, and then we sit there and have to listen and go over the evidence for hours and hours and hours to maybe get one little iota, but then we're so excited. And I said, absolutely. So, but yes, I think, Braden, go out there and find the What the Fetch by Grant Wilson. They are phenomenal. They're really good. And I think there's a series of five.
Is there?
Yeah, because we saw two of them.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Kimmy from Cat Paranormal is saying that she has a case right now where a female was messing with a Ouija board with a group of people, and now she sees a shadow man following her everywhere, and she's only 16. Yes, and this is what happens. And the scary part is, Braden, is you don't need a Ouija board to open up those portals. I mean, really, all you have to do is say, I'm here, come and talk to me sometimes.
And Braden, be true to yourself on what you're doing. Don't say that there's nothing, there's something there if there's not. It will come in time. Mm-hmm. And then you may scare the living but Jesus out of yourself. Because once you hear the dead voice, it never goes away.
No, no. And, you know, once you hear that dead voice and, you know, I do think clairvoyance, I know someone here, I think it was Mike was saying he wished he's always envied those of you who are sensitive and clairvoyant. But you know what, Mike, I feel like everybody has a little bit of sensitive and clairvoyantness to them. I do think it's the peeling away of all these layers that we've grown up with, people saying there's no such things. How many times have you heard that in your life? There's no such things as ghosts. There's no such things as UFOs. There's no such things as Bigfoot. And that just builds up over time. I think once you start peeling away those layers and all the times people have said this, you will learn to feel those energies and you may even become a little bit sensitive and clairvoyant. A prime example is Katie Sonmore on our team. She didn't think she was sensitive or clairvoyant, but now, after all these years, she is able to sense when something is happening in a room, because I know she will say to me, Steph, this feels different in here. Something's happening, right? You know, and yeah, there is. So it is definitely, like I said, I don't know so much if it's a learned ability or if it's just the peeling away of all these years of people saying, no such thing, you're crazy, don't even think about it. Because we've all heard that, right? And some of us more than others. I know in my family, you know, we were, a lot of us were, it's passed down. I believe that when you really are clairvoyant, you're also from a family that nurtures that, right? Because both of my parents, no, my kitty isn't screaming now, so I don't know whose kitty that is. But in my family, it was nurtured. Both of my parents, you know, could see and sense ghosts, and my grandparents before them. And they, I just remember growing up and going to my grandma's sister's house, which was a big duplex in Lower Northeast Minneapolis. And she would tell us about how there were these spirits up in the attic, and oh, she would talk to them on a daily basis. And she had, you know, and that's just how it is. You know, I think that the more you're nurtured, the more clairvoyant you're going to be later in life. But it is something that I think you can peel away the layers to become that. Don't you think, Jerry?
I think so too. Yes, I agree 100%. There was something that I wanted to say. Oh, if I may.
Yeah.
Karen, you're talking about dolls. Something about, I keep waiting for my doll to do something. Don't. We just did, took care of a doll just this week, last weekend. Mm-hmm. It was a doll that, oh my gosh, it was given to the wife who is black, and the husband is white. It was from his stepmother's grandma. And when they gave it to her, it was to stop the baby from being born that she had in her. And it was a horrible thing. As soon as she touched that doll, she was just, she felt like she was just going to lose the child. They had all sorts of problems until we got a hold of a certain witch that we know that told us how to break the spell on it. And it was some pretty gross stuff she had to do. But this doll is now in the hands. I got the doll, and I kept trying to put it into a mailbox, and it just wouldn't go. And finally, I got it in. It was like 7 seconds later. Look at my finger, Steph.
Yeah.
This is what happened.
It was like, yep.
It bit me. And that's weird because it was in an envelope. But the people that are going to be doing this are going to be on the calling on July 4th. And when they get the doll, they're going to make a show out of it. It wasn't going to go to Zaphis. That's who I wanted it to. But when you send Zaphis something, it just sits there for a very long time before they do anything. But I like Zaphis, okay? Great guy. But this is Stephanie Carpenter, and she has her own YouTube channel, which is called Steffi C. And she's got some incredible stuff. But, her biggest thing is dolls, and I hate dolls.
Yeah,
all
me too.
Dolls.
Me too.
Clowns especially.
So Heidi is texting me. She just got, it was crazy. She just lost track of time, and that's why she wasn't on tonight. Sorry, Heidi. But she's listening right now, and she just wants to, you know, we were talking about how if you're nurtured all your life in clairvoyantness, you're better off. But, you know, we know this. Heidi's talked about this on the radio before, and that she was not from a nurturing family and she had to hide it all of her life. So, but Heidi's a very strong, she's very, a very strong medium too. So she was able to get, you know, even more stronger after she let it loose, I guess you can say. And she says she wants the doll.
No.
I know, right? But, you know, Heidi was the first person I sent that box to. Remember the box with the owl?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I gave you as a gift, and right away you looked at it.
I
looked at it, too, and I was like, no, you should get rid of that.
It was this beautiful owl little trinket box that he found on eBay. Yeah, I know, we're almost done. But anyway, so he gave it to me, and I opened it up, and I'm like, I took it right out onto the deck. I didn't want it in my house. I didn't want it anywhere near me. And I texted Heidi, and I said, Heidi, I'm sending you, will you take this box? Yeah. I said, I'm sending it in the mail. What? I'm sending it in the mail. I want it out of here tonight. And then when she got it, I'm trying to hurry this up. But when she got it, she opened up the package and she looked in there. There was like a mirror on the inside. And in this mirror popped the spirit of this guy, right? I mean, it was like this box was enchanted or hexed or whatever. And she took care of it. And she actually still has it. And she puts it out on Halloween. Creepy dude, yes. She said the box had an attachment, and he was a creepy dude, and she took care of him, and that box still can be seen at Heidi's studio, because she puts it out at Halloween, which is crazy. And she wants to also say that she had a Catholic upbringing. Yeah, we know. Yeah, that's never cool, sometimes, especially if you have abilities. Anyhow, I think, you know what? It's almost time for us to go, Jerry. I can't believe this hour has gone by this fast.
Well, thank you very much, hon, for having me on the show. This is great. This is this was a lot of fun, and you guys got a bunch of really nice people out there.
I know, don't we? Yeah. We have the best listeners of all.
Mine send me death threats. Weird.
Well, we have great ones. And Jerry, so you guys can all listen to Jerry's show, The Calling, tomorrow night, because he has Matt Moneymaker on again.
Woo-hoo.
Bigfoot, all of us Squatchers will be listening because, you know, I met Matt a few years back and he's awesome and he's just such a wild thing. But anyway, so listen tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Eastern Time right here on the Para X Network. And Sarge, thank you so much. Para X, thank you much. Heidi says she's so sorry. She will be back next week. And thank you, Jerry, for, you know, picking up the slack here and being in her spot. And we got to go. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next week.